In Jerusalem, there is a church called St. Peter in Gallicantu. It's a rather peculiar name for a church. It is a church in honor of St. Peter with this title, Gallicantu, which means in Latin, the cock crow. It's a reference to that night of Jesus' betrayal on which St. Peter denies that he even knows our Lord. It seems at first strange that we would dedicate a church to St. Peter to memorialize the most embarrassing and tragic moment of his whole life. Yet, that is the church that is in Jerusalem to honor Peter at the cock crow. Why this memorializing of this tragic moment? Well, if you go down into the crypt level of this church, there you will find three icons in the front of the sanctuary, one on the left, one on the right, and a large one in the middle. And there on the left is an icon, which each icon has an inscription. And this one on the left says, "I do not know the man." And it is an icon of Peter denying that he knows Jesus. Non novum illum. I do not know him. The saddest moment in Peter's life. Therein, covering the entire back wall of the sanctuary, is an icon with St. Peter at the center, and it says simply, "He went out and wept bitterly." Peter knew the depth of his sin, and his tears brought him repentance. He changed his life. He regretted very much and repented of having denied our Lord, such that, beautifully, the icon on the right has this scene from our gospel today. There on the shore, beside a charcoal fire, Peter says beautifully to our Lord, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." That arrangement of those three icons struck me very much while I was there. To go on this progression from "I do not know him" to "Lord, you know that I love you." How critical that progression is, and how important that middle transition of going out and weeping bitterly. This repentance on the part of Peter is what is celebrated at this church. On the very spot where Peter denied Jesus, now is built a church in his honor, which in the great mosaic in the upper church is this scene of Peter denying Jesus. But on top of it is Peter seated on the throne with the papal tiara and papal robes to show that he is indeed the one that Jesus chose to be head of his church. He chose him to be the shepherd of the church, even knowing that he would deny Jesus and cause scandal. Jesus knew that, and he chose him anyway, perhaps even because of this. Because he knew, "Peter, when you have repented, turn and strengthen your brothers." And that's exactly what St. Peter did. We see him today boldly in our first reading, going back, as it were, to the scene of the crime, to the very people who had just condemned Jesus to death. If we compare Peter with Jesus, we see that Jesus was very quiet at his trial. He had very little to say. There are no bold proclamations from Jesus. Simply, "Are you the Son of God?" "I am." And that was enough. But how different things are now when Peter goes back and stands before those same people. Peter, who was afraid and cowardly and who on that very spot had denied our Lord, today in our first reading returns, and we find him saying to the Sanhedrin, "No, I will not stop speaking about Jesus. This Jesus, whom you killed, by the way," imagine the boldness, "you killed Jesus, and now God has raised him from the dead, and I'm here to tell you about it." And it says that they order him, "Don't speak." They know they can't put him to death at this moment because he's so popular. They say, "Just stop speaking about that name." Peter says, "We must obey God rather than men, and we will not stop." I wonder if there were people there to remind Peter, and how much Peter might have been reminded himself about his denials. Who are you to speak about this Jesus whom you denied even knowing just a week earlier? And yet, there he is, saying, "No, we will not be silent, we will speak." This is the great role of Peter as our first pope, and all the popes through the centuries. To be our good shepherds means that they stand up and preach the truth, that they proclaim with St. Peter that, "No, we will not be silent, we will not stop preaching about this name." We know we need to continue to pray for our Holy Father. Imagine how tragic it would have been if Peter had never had that moment of repentance, if he had just wept bitterly and then crawled away and hid. In the face of scandal, the scandal of Judas, all the scandal around the crucifixion, in the face of the scandal of his own sins, Peter does not hide. He comes out and brags boldly, "No, we will not be silent." And that is what Pope Benedict continues to this day as our good shepherd, our faithful leader of God's flock. I was surprised, maybe not too surprised, but rather taken by an article I read recently this week. A columnist was seeking to give some advice to the Holy Father. And he was saying that, you know, in the light of all the scandal that's gone on in the church in these past few weeks, I would really advise Pope Benedict if he would just be quiet for a while. He really just needs to stay in the Vatican, not speak, and just shut up and be quiet for a little bit. That was this columnist's advice to the Holy Father. Of course, we see very similar to what they asked of St. Peter today in our reading. Just be quiet. Don't speak anymore about this name. But of course, we pray for our Holy Father Benedict that God will strengthen him and that he will continue to speak boldly in the name of Jesus. For that is his role as our shepherd, and what a good shepherd he really is. We are thankful for our Holy Father and Jesus' choice of him to be our shepherd. How important it is for each of us to not be afraid of the scandal of our own life. How sad would it be for us if we were to look at our own sins and say, "Who am I to go out and tell anybody about being holy?" This is the great trap of the devil, that somehow we would be hypocrites to go out and preach the gospel because we all know maybe we don't live it so well. While that's true, Jesus knows this in us as well. When he chose us in baptism, he knew that at some time we would fail him, but he also knew that we love him, and that we will start again. That is the great message to us today. Despite our sins, despite our failings, we too stand up and say, "I'm not perfect. I'm not as holy as I need to be yet. But I cannot stop speaking about this name, and speaking about Jesus Christ raised from the dead." In each of our lives, we can see that sad picture when we have said, "I don't know him," where we could have stood up for our faith in society, but instead we were quiet. We let someone profane the church to bash the Holy Father, and we were silent. I don't know him. I'm not going to stand up and even admit that I'm Catholic. It gets hard these days. But that's not the end for us, as it was not the end for Peter. We too can repent, turn back to the Lord, and say that we love him. When I was at St. Peter in Gallicanto, I came away with one special reminder from that place. I knew I would be ordained shortly. I bought a purple stole there, one that I touched to the place where Jesus was imprisoned, touched to the place of Peter's denial, because that purple stole is one that I like to use in confession to remind myself and all of us that sin is not to be the end of us. As surely as Peter was able to repent, all of us can repent. And when we do so, we then freely and boldly go out to proclaim the name of Jesus. For every time that we've said, "I do not know him," We know the truth that we proclaim today. Lord, you know all things. You know that we love you.